Welcome to the Tipping Point Show. I'm Jimmy Evans. It's an honor to have joining me on the show today, Mondo Gonzalez. Mondo co-hosts the excellent program Prophecy Watchers alongside Gary Stearman, which I'm sure many of you have seen. Mondo is also the author of an intriguing new book, The Red Heifer Ritual, the last piece of the Third Temple puzzle. We've been hearing for the past couple of years a lot about the red heifers in Israel and their importance in rebuilding the Third Temple. And today we get to hear from an expert about what is going on. Mondo, thank you for joining me today.
Great to be here.
Well, I love your show. You and Gary Stearman do such a great job on Prophecy Watchers, and you guys have many guests on your show. Mm-hmm. This book that you've written is called The Red Heifer Ritual, The Last Piece of the Third Temple Puzzle. Now, this is something that a lot of people are talking about because of the red heifers. And one of the Hamas spokesmen, I think it was 100 days after October 7th, came out with a statement talking about one of the reasons for the Al-Aqsa, you know, raid or the October 7th was the red cows. And he specifically mentioned those. So this actually started, it was a biblical, part of the what God told the children of Israel to do related to ritual cleansing. Okay, so talk about why you wrote the book, kind of where all this comes from.
Yeah, it kind of became big news for, I guess I would say, the average Christian, because in September 15th of 2022, you have five cows showing up with big fanfare. I mean, the press is there in Tel Aviv, at the airport, even the Israeli government's there in some capacity. And so when that happened, I've been watching Prophecy for 30 years, so I've been watching about the different red heifers and candidates, and they come and then they fade out because they become disqualified. But I thought, man, they have five now. And that's what led me to the idea of, you know what, I need to write a book about this, right? Because to help the average Christian understand the background, not just in the Bible, because it is in the Bible, but also the prophetic trend, what's been going on, the history. And so I was able actually to come down here to Fort Worth and meet with one of the guys who was the ground zero. Right. He was there. He saw the calves being born. So I was able to spend some time, interview him, and get the background for those five calves. But also, as you mentioned, it's very complicated because you have rabbis that are quoting the Talmud and the Mishnah, right, and these other Jewish writings. And so I thought, you know what? My undergrad's in Jewish studies. So I thought, hey, I understand all the different language. So I think the average Christian would appreciate having the entire kind of backstory and, again, prophetically what we're looking for.
And so during this interview, where we're going to end is talking about what's happening now, okay, related to the red heifers, because you have direct information on what's going on over there right now. And so we're taping this interview in March of 2024. In April or soon, there could be some developments happening over there. But let's go back to just the Bible, Numbers. I think Numbers 19 talks about the red heifer ritual. So what's the red heifer and why is it important?
Yeah, right. We don't think as Christians, we think in terms of, even as a pastor, you know, if you believe in Jesus, your sins can be forgiven. So we think in terms of forgiveness of sins, not in terms of ritual purity, right, because we don't have a temple. We're not going and we don't need that idea. But for the Jewish person, going back to Moses, God says, you know, there is forgiveness, but also if you come to the temple to do your offering, you can become ritually unclean. You can, you know, be with somebody who's dead or other things. And so what God did in his grace, he instead of having a sacrifice to become ritually clean, he gave the red heifer, which in Numbers 19, I want you to slaughter this cow, take the blood, and then I want you to burn the entire cow outside of the camp and mix the ashes with water, which then can produce, there's a lot of volume, so to speak. Right. And then you go to the priest or whatever, and he can sprinkle you and you become ritually pure through a ceremony, which allows you then to approach the temple to give your offering. Very inexpensive way for the people. Again, God was gracious. So that was one of the original things that God wanted. He wanted people to see him. And so to come to the temple and to meet him there. And he gave this inexpensive way to become ritually pure and approach the temple.
And so that is the red heifer is a symbolic of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay, talk about the symbol.
Oh yeah, clearly what we see is in the book of Hebrews, which is, you know, the greatest book that's written to Jewish people, right?
Right.
And their understanding. In the book of Hebrews, twice he makes mention there about the red heifer ashes being used to purify the externals. And he says, if that's true, then how much more will Jesus's blood be able to purify the conscience?
Right.
And so when we look at all the Old Testament regulations and prescriptions, we know Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, that they all point to Jesus, that those were, they were just a shadow, but Jesus, the Messiah, is the substance. And so the writer of the Hebrews is pointing at us and saying, even the red heifer, which is interesting, it's one of these very rare, you know, one offering in all the 613 commandments, but pointing to Jesus.
So the one of the things that interested me, I was thinking about it one time about the when the red heifers were being flown over to Israel, and I kept thinking, you know, what's significant about it? But the other thing is they slaughtered it. This was not a polite sacrifice where they carved it up and separated everything. They took it outside the camp and they slaughtered it out there. So there's a push right now to rebuild the third temple. So what's the big deal about that? Why is that important?
Well, what we know as prophecy teachers is that, you know, Daniel, you know, Jesus in Matthew 24, John in Revelation 11, and Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 all describe that at least at the midpoint of the tribulation period, there's going to be a temple in existence. There's going to be sacrifices being offered, which again will be taken away. So we have four different witnesses that say this snapshot, there'll be a temple. And so we know that. But then what's interesting is prophecy teachers for decades, even before really the temple movement, even before Israel really was a nation, you had those that took the scripture literally that said, well, the Jews are going to be back and there's going to be a temple there. And you could see the commentaries, which was kind of fun to see. But because we know that, now people watch and say, well, what's the third temple movement? And then you see, of course, with 1948 with Israel, 1967 with Jerusalem. Immediately, the Temple Mount Faithful was a group that was organized by Gershon Solomon right at 67. Right. So he started it, it's been around, and was like, we have the Temple Mount, let's rebuild the temple. And of course, we know, even at Passover and other festivals throughout the last 2,000 years, what do they say? Next year in Jerusalem,
right.
Next year in Jerusalem. Right. So this has been on the radar in the Jewish mind since 70 AD, but now to see that movement come to play is very powerful. And then the prerequisite, that's why I said the red heifer ritual is the final piece because of the third temple puzzle. They have everything else done. You can go to the Temple Institute. Yes. You can see all the things that they've done there. So what are they waiting for? Well, there's two things. They're waiting for the political government to allow it and the geopolitics to allow it. But the second thing is they've been waiting for the red heifer because they've been trying this for at least 35 years, looking for it, because they need the ashes to purify the people and to purify the area. Now, I'll say this. The temple could be built, but if the geopolitics were there, it could be built now. They just couldn't use it until the red heifer is done, which allows it to be purified.
So in the Temple Institute, and we've both been there, we went on a tour of it, I believe it was November of 2022. And when you walk in and you begin the tour, they say these are not replicas. Mm-hmm. These are kosher, and all of these will be used in the third temple. They have all the garments, all of the instruments for sacrifice, and you know all the things like that. The altars, they have the menorah standing in the Jewish quarter in Jerusalem. They have the cornerstone ready. I believe that's the Temple Mount Faithful. They have the cornerstone. At the end of the tour, because a lot of people talk about the Ark of the Covenant, at the end of the tour, they have an exact replica of the Ark of the Covenant. And it's the only replica in there. And they say matter-of-factly, they also say this on their website, they say this is a replica of the Ark of the Covenant. We know where the real one is. And when the time comes, we'll go get it. Because a lot of people say, well, the Ark of the Covenant's gone. Not according to them.
Yep.
And they have eyewitnesses. Have you heard that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So this is significant. So for a prophecy-minded Christian, I mean, why does this make a difference? The red heifers on stuff.
I think that two things. You know, if you compare the, like you just mentioned, all of the things that they've done in the Temple Institute, and you go, wow, I mean, the Bible says this. It says it at the middle of the tribulation, it'll be there. Well, they have all the preparations done. And then the last thing that's been hanging out there for a long time has been the red heifer. And now we can talk about how many are qualified in that. But now you at least started with five candidates. And I think the average person would have to say, we're getting close. I mean, we're getting close. It's one thing to see, I've been going to Jerusalem for 20 years. And it's one thing to see the Temple Institute and that. And that's good. But when you now the last piece, is there, and there's five, there at least originally was five candidates. I think that the average Christians just go, I need, again, Jesus is coming soon. We know that, all these signs point to it. And of course, it requires us to be ready and also to be, occupying until he comes. So to me, it's an impetus to stay busy in the kingdom work, to seek the Lord, be ready at all times, and to be excited of, we know that Jesus is returning not only at the rapture, but also to fix the world.
That's right. So are there things happening right now in Jerusalem? They have the five red heifers. Now, it's my understanding that one of them has been found not kosher. Is that correct?
Yeah, the I just got the update a couple weeks ago from Byron Stenson, who works at he's the organizer of Monet Israel.
Right.
So he said there's a lot of misinformation out there. Even at the Temple Institute Facebook page, you see, I don't know who's moderating it, but he said very clearly, and he's in the know. I mean, he's the one that brought him over. So he said one is 100% disqualified. He said there's four left that are fully qualified. He said, but one of them is just not as red as the other three. So I imagine if they were to pick one, they wouldn't pick that one. They would pick one of the other three. So right now, that's the latest information on the qualifications of the red heifers.
So three are kosher. Mm-hmm. Okay. And is there a plan to go? When can they? Because I think they have to be like 2 years and 1 day old or something like that.
They have to be, this is another thing too, that there's a lot of misinformation out there. They have to be 2 years and 1 month old. And when you look at the Temple Institute page, which they have a lot of stuff on the red heifer, it's been there a long time on their internet page, but they say 3 years, 3 years, 3 years, even a book by Rabbi Richman, which I have, which he wrote, you know, back in the 90s, 3 years. But what they mean by that is different than what we mean.
Sure.
When they say 3 years, they mean in the third year. So for us, if my grandson is, if I say he's three, that means he's 36 months plus something.
Right.
But for them, that just means that he's 24 months plus whatever, because then he's in his third year. And that's really the idea. Well, we also know that, and I've confirmed this from Byron and Robert Mawiri, who's down here in Fort Worth, who was there, that their birthday was October 5th through the 12th of 2021. So basically October of 2023, they became 2 years. So if we go to November 15th, 2 years and 1 month. So they've actually been, this is the interesting thing, and I'm not a sensationalist, but for the first time in 1900 years, as of November 15th of last year, we have at least three, possibly four red heifers that are fully qualified and of age.
Wow.
First time in 1900 years.
Is there a plan that you know of to sacrifice, to slaughter them in the near future?
So the plan starting about 6 months ago, even earlier last summer, they were waiting for them to become qualified in November. And so I was thinking, they could really do something in November. But what they talked about was waiting until Passover, which is Passover 2024, which is April 22nd of this year. And they said, well, this was the Temple Institute and the Bone Israel group. They said, well, the plan is to do the ceremony on the Mount of Olives. They have the property.
Yes.
And
It has to be done on the Mount of Olives.
It has to be done on the Mount of Olives. The Mishnah, which is the oral tradition written down, 280, says very clearly that. And they have the property there. There's actually two properties that are potentials. But they said between Passover and Shavuot, which happens to be June 12th. Now, they chose that window just because they wanted to coincide it with some Jewish festivals, because during the Jewish festivals, there's more interest and there's excitement. And I remember asking Byron in an interview I did with him, does it need to be on there? He said, no, it doesn't need to be. That's just, we wanted to bring it up. Well, at the time, this was prior to October 7th. And even later, as we heard about with Hamas, I was always skeptical, honestly, that they would do it that way. Byron had told me that he said, "Hey, pray for me. I'm working on trying to get live stream for 800 million people."
Oh gosh!
but that was
I would be watching.
Yeah, but that was before Hamas came out and said what they said.
Right.
So what he did tell me was that the Israeli government prior to that was very pro ceremony. They were going to help with the security on the Mount Olives because, as you know, on that east side, Silwan is right there to the south. It's a Palestinian area, and so to have this big bonfire of a cow would draw a lot of attention. So they talked about having security. Where now he told me, Mondo, that the Israeli government is now very much against having a ceremony at this time.
Oh wow!
So that has been a big change. because of these latest things. They're in the middle of a war. And I understand that, because I think in terms of my thought was always that it would be to go out and do that for security reasons would be very challenging. But they would do it privately. They'd film it. They'd record it and say, hey, by the way, everybody, 2 weeks ago, we burnt the red heifer and we have the ashes. And here's the video. I think that would be a little bit more security conscious. But nevertheless, things are changing really fast right now.
Do you think that the Hamas was truly disturbed by the red heifers, or were they just using that as a pretext for what they did?
We know that you can't believe anything they say.
Right.
And so I think absolutely a pretext. It was something that was convenient for them, because they have a base, mm-hmm. right? They have a base too, and they want to get the people inflamed. But even even lately, there, I don't know if you saw the video, but CBS did a report on the red heifers in the last 2 weeks.
Really?
And they interviewed one of the rabbis of that's part of the Temple Institute that was here in Texas, Yitzhak Momo, on the site of where the location of their property is. But it was a hit piece on the Temple Institute inflaming the regions, basically blaming them for October 7th. And he got really irritated in the conversation. But one of the other things that they did, and I have to say this, is because what they did is, the video is like 5 minutes, people can find it online, but about 2 minutes into the video, they show this huge altar. And the guy says, this is the altar that they have prepared in order to slaughter the red heifer. And this thing is gigantic. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, there's no way that altar would fit on that property. So I did a little research, talked to some people in Israel, come to find out that altar was built 20 years ago,
oh God,
south of the Dead Sea, not on the property. They completely lied.
Wow.
So they took some old footage, put it in, and they portrayed it as being the actual red heifer altar. So this is where discernment is so, we have to be so discerning today, because there's so much misinformation. And the fact that, well, it's not surprising that CBS would lie, but they did it to stoke the flames of feelings against Israel.
Well, it's the importance of what you're doing, because this book is really fantastic. And we're going to talk here just a little bit about the questions you ask at the end of the book, which I think are very important. But people can trust Mondo and what he's saying, because again, you're talking to Byron Stinson, you're mm-hmm. talking to the people that are in the know over there. This isn't secondhand. So, in Revelation 11, John says, I was handed a rod and told to measure the temple, but not the outer court, because it had been given to the Gentiles to trample underfoot for 42 months. So there's going to be a rebuilt temple on the mm-hmm. Temple Mount. And we know 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us that the Antichrist sits as God in the temple mm-hmm. of God, proclaiming that he is God. So it's going to be rebuilt, but they cannot rebuild it without the ashes of the red heifer. Okay, and so this is the 10th red heifer, is that correct?
Yeah, according to Maimonides, yeah.
Talk about the significance of that.
Yeah, so Maimonides was a very well-known rabbi in basically, the 10th, 11th century. And he wrote a whole commentary called the Mishnah Torah. And he's writing about the longing to when the temple comes back, this is how we will accomplish it. This is what we need to do. And he was trying to put in writing some of the Jewish traditions that could be lost. And so he has a chapter in there on the red heifer, and he talks in there that from his understanding, up until the time of the second temple, during basically Jesus's day, there had been 9 red heifers slaughtered in history. And so what he said was that when the 10th one comes, it will be offered up or officiated over by the Messiah himself.
Wow.
Okay. Now what the Jews have done, the traditional or today's rabbinic Jews, they're like, well, we don't want to commit to that, because then that would leave them right. not being able to do anything. What they said was, they said that when the 10th heifer arrives and is offered in a ceremony, it's going to reveal that it's the Messiah, the Messianic era has arrived. Right. Now, we would agree with that.
Yeah.
That I think what we're seeing is the Messianic era of Jesus returning and having the kingdom is truly here. So Maimonides said what he said. And again, they take all these things. In addition to the Bible, they have their Jewish traditions. And so that's why there's all these other extra requirements, hair follicles and right. different things like that, which I get into.
Well, it's very, 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 very stringent that it can have, white hairs or, it's a miracle that you have 3 that are kosher right now. And so how long have they been looking for the red heifer? Because this is 2024. where they now have kosher red heifers that they could actually sacrifice today if they wanted to. Okay, how long have they been looking?
They thought about it for a long time, but the modern movement began really in the 80s into early in the 90s, going to Mississippi. This isn't the first time rabbis have come to America.
Right. Yeah.
They came to Mississippi. Clyde Lott, in Rabbi Richmond's book, he's got a picture of him, of the heifer that was at least a candidate. It later became disqualified. So since the late 80s, early 90s, this has been on the radar. And of course, you know, there's been, again, I've been watching since 93, and there was one that shows up and then it disappears, another one that shows up and then it disappears. But this is different in that what people might not know is that in addition to these five, there's 15 more, 18 more on the ranch that are all considered at least possibilities that they're watching. So the ranchers here in Texas, up in Rockwall and other places, this is their goal. I mean, they are breeding. Ty Davenport, he's well known for his ranch. He says, I'm doing this specifically to raise Red Angus for the temple.
Hope you enjoyed today's show. Listen to see the entire Tipping Point show. Go to endtimes.com. Become a subscriber for $7 a month. Love to have you as a subscriber. But I hope that this information has been helpful to you. And listen, you can give to us on endtimes.com. You can go and you can give a donation one time. You can give a recurring donation. We need your support to keep this ministry going and to reach out to as many people as we possibly can. First of all, to lead them to Jesus Christ, but also to give comfort and encouragement to people in the very difficult times that we're living in. People need biblical truth and Bible prophecy to help them to contextualize the things that are happening in the world. The world's crazy right now, but the Bible tells us exactly what to expect, and that's comforting because Jesus Christ is coming. Thank you for joining me today. Go to endtimes.com to become a subscriber and also to give to the ministry. God bless you.